Maybe we should just record a segment after this that says, when you listen to this podcast, please go to and take this. But either way, you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's been fun,
you can
Justin.
Just say that right now.
When I just said it, but podcast. Who listens to a podcast from the back?
Oh, you mean stick it at the front?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not saying we have to, but
all right,
it was just
right now, and I'll put it at the front.
Podcast listeners, please take a moment to go to the
Mike Foster's seven
primal questions assessment, and then listen to the rest of the podcast.
You'll thank us if you do that in that order. You can go to primalquestion.com. Yeah, that's probably the best place to go.
Yeah.
Nice job. I'm going to put that at the front, and I'm also going to leave it at the end. So everyone can
that's
see.
Right. That's fair enough. They'll know I wasn't very forethinking on that part.
That's right. But at the beginning, they'll be like, wow, they were very forward thinking.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
Boop. Live.
Red lights on.
Red lights on.
Yep.
Segways to come. Although I'm a little reluctant on segways. I bombed last one, but like
that's a good segue into segways though.
There you go. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Good morning, that's Justin. Right.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I am very well.
It's very cold this morning.
It is cool this morning.
Yeah. Did your truck start okay?
Oh yeah. Started up just fine.
Old Faithful,
just.
Did you get the frost out the window?
It really wasn't frosty.
Yeah.
I was surprised. It was just weird. So clear, I think. You know, it just got cold and clear. And
that
it wasn't
might bode well for the old plants. In the sense that frost is the killer, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily the cold. Is that correct?
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
I suppose at some point.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, like you say, that frost expands the cells in the leaves. So I imagine there's a point where cold just does the same thing. Mm-hmm. Without the frost, but either way, yeah, when it's cold, it's cold.
Yes, and it's cold. So we're going to talk about some questions.
There's my segue. I was thinking about that in the process, because we were talking a little bit about, you know, things that kind of you know, push you the wrong way.
Make you scramble.
Yeah, you're not exactly sure, but all of a sudden it's like, you know, like for some people it might be negotiating or haggling over a car or, you know, over a number. For other people it would be a look that they might receive from someone, you know, and
or the idea someone's coming to your house.
Sure.
Or
The aspect of, is what I do matter? You know, do people, you know, so
or uncertainty at work, you know, like so, that can cause people to scramble when they're not quite sure what the future holds or.
Sure.
Yeah. There's all kinds of scramblers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. There's all kinds of scramblers. And the reality of it is there's nothing new under the sun.
That's true.
You know, so today, as part of our podcast this morning, we have
we have a guest on.
Yeah, well, indirectly.
Mike Foster.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't know he's on.
Exactly. He's been on Fox News. He's been on Good Morning America. He won't be concerned
about how I see it.
Exactly.
It's going to go right on the homepage logos. You know, they got all featured on
LinkedIn.
How I See It.
But Mike Foster came up with seven primal questions, and this is an assessment that, you know, we can put in our podcast, and we'll have a link at the end. And it was just an interesting discussion. It was actually information that Lizzie shared with us over the weekend while she was home. So I just thought it was kind of a neat little opportunity, because I think, you know, so often in this process, and like I say, we've shared, you know, love styles and those kind of things.
Yep.
But I think, you know, through this process of development, you know, we have, and I see it so much with, it was reminding me, I was working with a couple last night even, and, you know, and the wife basically said to me, she said, he grew up exactly the same way I did. You know, his parents were separated, you know, he lived, you know, alone. And it's like, in my own mind, I could hear what she was saying and understood where she was coming from on a, you know, a bigger, a macro level, but yet that has a completely different effect on us as individuals. You know, she's female, he's male, you know, her mom was different than his mom, you know, to where they're just completely different people who grew up in a similar circumstance.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like I've learned that so significantly at CR, at going through step study groups with multiple times over the years, and even open chair groups is an opportunity to hear other people talk about their struggles.
Sure.
And as a result of talking about their struggles, there's also a lot of talking about contextual things like, well, I grew up this way. And so sometimes I really have a hard time with X, right?
Yep.
And a lot of times it's like, there's so many times I've heard that kind of thing where like, wait, they had what I had, and but they struggle with that and I don't. That's weird.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. They had everything I wanted and everything I feel like that holds me back. And I didn't have that. I didn't have, they kind of described this ideal scenario where they had that and then they ended up having these problems. So I've had a lot of kind of eye opening opportunities to, so it's like you said, the macro vision, you might look similar, but we're all so distinct.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Butterfly effect really has an impact when
it comes
to every individual, if you know what I mean by that butterfly effect.
Sure.
Yeah.
One significant, I mean,
or one small change between your life and mine and everything else being equal, we could be completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
Exactly.
Right?
Like,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting as you know, we were going through this and I was able to take this assessment. Now, of course, will be in the link, but I was just thinking about it as far as, you know, how we develop and what these things mean to us. Because for me, kind of that underlying part, you know, is, okay, what do we do? You know, when you used the word scramble.
Yeah.
You know,
I stole his word. That's Mike's word.
Yeah. That's Mike's
Thanks,
word.
Thanks, Mike.
But in that process, it's the things that, you know, I tend to feel tend to make me scramble.
Yeah.
Those times when something doesn't seem sufficient, something isn't right. And then I find myself, from my perspective, reacting in some ways versus responding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, little things like this, you know, little assessments that, you know, just kind of help us create a little more self-awareness, you know, and also the aspect, because I think as we become more self-aware, we also gain others' awareness. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, your style, your language, you are different than I am.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's not about me knowing what you're doing. I actually have to ask the questions.
Yeah.
What is it about that? What happened then? How did you feel?
Yeah.
You know, because I guarantee I can see the gears turning there.
Well, okay. So you just made me think about the fact that so many of these quiz makers and assessment makers.
Sure.
My mind was like, wait a second. I just thought of something. They see the value of the whole system. They created it, right? So there is so much value in what you just said. Not only do I know what I am, I also understand so his is seven questions, right? So I understand my primal question, but I also understand the other six. So I can look across the table and think, oh, question five, question two.
Yep.
And it gives me that empathy and the ability to go, yes, different than me. And
grew
up in the same situation, but somehow there are two and I'm still a seven or whatever. And that's an incredible thing.
Sure.
I just realized like a lot of these things, they don't give you that out of the box. They give you you.
Sure.
Right?
That's like, what sells.
That, yes, exactly.
Yes.
No, I'm not criticizing. And the reason why that's so eureka for me is because at our work, we do the Enneagram.
Sure.
Basically, everyone who comes on does the Enneagram. It kind of helps with management, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But when we first decided to do this, we brought in this Enneagram like coach.
Guru.
Yes, exactly. And joke about it all you want, but it was amazing to hear her talk about every type and kind of sure. how people can interact and all that. And it gave me a tool set that I wouldn't have had otherwise, just to know, sure. well, I'm this. Yep. I don't know what your problem is. Well, you're other. You're that number, and I'm this number, so you're an other. So clearly you're not quite right, but that's okay. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
I am the optimal number.
exactly. That's what I heard when I heard my assessment. No, I think that's a good point, though, that coming from a therapeutic perspective, which you do and are, you look at this and you go, wow, this is a good thing to help others understand others and themselves.
Yep.
I just don't know how often that's happening. When the whole system is bent towards learn more about you.
No, I hear you.
Just, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's what under, from my perspective, that's what's underlying, and that's a big part of how we love, you know, that aspect of self and others awareness. That's just like a second stage of three stages.
Okay,
cool. And then of course, the third stage is rupture and repair. Because in reality, we all enter into conflict. Mm-hmm. Your number isn't the same as my number.
Right.
So I'm going to look at something, I'm going to experience something, and I'm going to have a completely different viewpoint, perspective of it.
Yeah.
And so when I do that, I'm going to, my brain is going to kind of click, 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 you know, what do you spreadsheet this thing? Yep. And there's your answer. Spit it out at the end. This is how I need to respond. Yeah. And it's like, no, somebody else's computer went through, brain went through, and their spreadsheet came out. This is the response.
Right.
Well, both responses make perfect sense based on that inputs. Number.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's crazy about that, too, is you can take two people of the same number.
Sure.
And put in the same input and still have different output. And the reason is all the variables that, you know, go into that spreadsheet are different. You have different parents, grew up in a different state. Maybe you're a different level in the
socioeconomics.
Or like you're the youngest child, the oldest child. Like just a bajillion variables that we kind of just don't even consider when we look at each other. You know, so I could be, you know, question seven, you could be question seven, and you can give us the same question and we come up with vastly different answers because there are so many variables we're not even considering, you know.
No doubt. Yeah.
So, you know, because we always talk about, well, they're different there, and that's why. Well.
Oh, sure.
I'm pretty sure if you had married a clone, you'd still fight with them.
Right? Like no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Because the other thing is I'm a variable in your situation. Right. So even if we're clones, what I do causes you to do something different or think differently or be irritated or whatever. Sure. Like, anyway.
And to kind of, you know, further your example, I think, you know, so often in sibling relationships.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, we grew up in the same home.
Yeah.
How can we be so different? It's like, no, you didn't grow up in the same home. You know, you didn't. Yeah. You grew up in the same house.
Right.
But that home dramatically changed when, you know, this 7-pound to 8-ounce child came in. That home, I mean, you know, that home changed. That family system changed when this other individual came along. So it's, you know.
The home I grew up in had you in it.
Exactly. <You know? laughs>
And vice versa. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Based on that birth order type stuff. So it automatically changes. Yep. But so that's where, and then, you know, that third level, rupture and repair, we're going to come into conflict, but that ability to say, okay, how do we resolve this?
Yeah.
You know, how do we, because, and I think so often that's what happens is we don't necessarily get to a point where we can, you know, hear the other person like we'd like to, or we're not heard in such a way that says, okay, I've never experienced the ability to have repair. I've only grown up in this rupture to where once I can understand what a repair looks like, then I'm better able to recognize, okay, this is a cycle and a pattern that happens all the time.
Well, and,
go ahead.
And like you said, once I experience a repair, now I go, oh, this can be repaired.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm able to kind of relax into, you know, that conflict. And I don't have to necessarily say, oh my goodness, conflict is terrible.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to resolve it.
And don't you, I was going to say, don't you think conflict is so terrible because it's represents something irreparable.
Yes.
Right? Like yes. That's most often the thing that causes the schism. At least I can say from my experience, the way sure. I feel when there's conflict, it's like, well, this is always going to be this way. And, you know,
yeah
that's where, yeah. I'll say recently, I've worked on that. I've had those feelings come in where it's like, this is never going to change or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And said, yeah. And then just like tried to go, just chill out. Don't listen to that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that man, it really changed how I dealt with the situation, you know, how nice. I responded. And doesn't mean it's perfect, but it definitely.
That's good self-awareness.
Yeah, well, I'll just say that I don't always have that self-awareness, yeah. but it was really refreshing to be able to see those thoughts coming in and go, nope, you stay over there.
Sure.
You know, because that's, I'll say, like, that's one thing with depression.
Uh-huh. That's exactly where I was thinking.
Yeah, is that. I don't get to choose. I can see them coming and I can't block them. It's like, they like go through my.
I can't block them.
They like go through my hands, it feels like, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I see him coming. It's like, I can't.
But you just demonstrated that you can choose some.
Yes.
Yes.
I guess that's kind of what I'm saying.
It's not that you can't block them.
Yes.
But yet you're learning how to focus on certain ones
yeah.
and tending to ignore the other ones.
Yeah.
So therefore you can choose.
We'll see about that, Mark.
You're growing in your ability yeah. to block some of them.
Yeah.
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 And
hopefully.
Hopefully,
a fluke.
Well, no, but that's the reality. You're building some success with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore Which that reinforces. Promotes your desire yeah. to do that again.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it perfectly every time?
Mm-hmm.
Likely not.
But even when I fail to, you still have that success to look back yes. on and say, well, I didn't do it right this time, but I know it works. So I'm
exactly.
going to do, you know, I'm going to try harder next time.
You're a good football fan at that point. There's always next season.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah.
Like the poor Cowboys fans. And, was the team that
Pittsburgh
lost
Steelers.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's what it comes down, because I talked with a, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Yeah. You know,
you're up from that area, so.
He was funny. He's like, well, we did better than I thought we'd do. You know, it's like, that's the other side of the coin, you know.
That's what we do. Well, we didn't suck like we usually do, but
exactly. But yeah, so that being said, if I just kind of wanted to kind of go through that in such a way, and we'll kind of label them out a little bit. Yeah. We invite people to kind of just, if you have a moment, take the assessment. Like I say, there's no, I was able to get mine even without putting in
that's pretty email rare.
Address.
Yeah,
that's pretty,
you could say skip the email. Yeah. That was, well, here's the thing. I was like, I like this enough. I would give you my email, but also had a required field for phone. I'm like, nope,
oh, okay.
I'm out. I'll do the skip. So if you're listening, Mr. Foster, maybe don't make all of it required, because some people might be willing to give their phone, not their email, whatever. That's anyway.
That's how we see it, Mr. Foster.
That is how I see it anyway. Yeah.
So there's no subscription. There's no, and like you say, you're given all the information, and that may change in the next. You know, depending on how many listeners we send,
right,
you know, that might change.
Owe us a check. Yeah. No, I was going to say too, right before we dive into them, this, just like every other assessment, is a distilling, right? Of
sure.
Kind of. So I like what you were saying. You said nothing's new under the sun, right?
Yeah.
So what's cool about that is after eons of us being the same kind of ways as
sure.
humanity, we're able to look at it and review it and go and distill to some key components of what makes us tick. So I really like this, but as with everything, nothing can fully encompass an individual. And I thought it was funny when you sent me this, because I know you've pushed back on personality tests before, because it's like, right, we've discussed that, where you don't like the idea that it could sum you up in one.
I hear you.
I
dislike taking tests like this, but I give him credit because he gave me the little sliding scale. You follow me? Don't like is when somebody asks me the point blank question and it's only yes or no.
Yeah.
It would probably still equated to yes and no, you know, in the
math,
the drop down.
Yeah.
but I was able to just slide it a little bit to, you know, partially agree.
That's a good point. If you're one of those that doesn't like to be pegged, then just so you know, you can slide that slider anywhere between the continuum. It's a continuum.
Exactly.
Answer, right?
So, yeah. And it gave me the, you know, perception that I was able to put myself on that continuum
where
I desire to be.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So anyway, standard disclaimer, it is a distilling. So if you know, maybe not be 1,000% perfect and peg you in every sense, but
and recognizing pulling back, you know, we our acceptance, our identity, our security and all that purpose, which this stuff deals with, ultimately, I believe comes from God, you know, unconditional acceptance, you know, but there again, growing in self-awareness helps me, you know, interact with other people in a way that I believe is helpful. But, you know.
Well, and bringing it back to God, too, like all of these primal questions are all only answered through God.
Sure.
Properly. Right. Sure. So, I mean, you can find answers for all of these in, you know, other places, but ultimately they're all going to end up empty or, you know.
Yep. And I think what happens is, you know, we all grow up with imperfect parents, not blaming anyone, but, you know, some of these questions just don't get answered sufficiently.
Yeah.
You know, in our, you know, childhood background, you know, imperfect people, you know, raising imperfect kids, you know, that kind of thing. Yep. And, you know, so
it creates a hunger or a, a craving.
Yes.
Maybe the better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there is that need. And, you know, even as we were talking about it with Lizzie, that, you know, she was describing it far better than I probably will, you know, in this, just this moment. But, you know, it was to the point of, it's like, okay, yeah, we're talking about attachment. We're talking about needs going unmet and how that need translates into this primal question or, you know, so yeah, that's where I'm at. So
cool.
Well, for the sake of the seven questions, I think what we'll do is we'll kind of go through and label out the seven questions, then come back
Sounds good.
Then actually kind of go piece by piece and we'll talk about them accordingly. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right.
So we'll have Mike weigh in a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you weigh in for Mike. But long story short, question one is, am I safe? Question two is, am I secure? Question three, am I loved? Question four, am I wanted? Question five, am I successful? Question six, am I good enough? And question seven, do I have a purpose?
Nice. Now, everyone pause the podcast and guess which one you think Mark and I are.
Oh.
All right, you back? Did you get it right? All right.
I thought this was interesting when we both took the assessment. Yeah. We actually agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the same primal question.
On the same primal question. And it kind of, I think as people listen, you know, you could hear some of that in our discussions, you know, especially when we think about, you know, goals and, you know, legacy, those kind of things, you know, as we talk about that, we were both question seven.
Yeah.
Do I have purpose?
Yeah.
And so, like you say, it was just kind of interesting. And so I wasn't surprised by that. And and even as, you know, Lizzie was, you know, discussing the questions, it's like, it was because question seven, of course, is the last one. So in that process, it's like, this isn't much.
This is all stupid. This guy's totally missing it. Last question.
Exactly. I'm glad you like this, Lizzie, but you know, this means nothing to me until it's like she started, you know, going to the purpose. It's like, oh, wait, hold on. This is making, this is a lot more important than I thought it was.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so that was just the timing of it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I think, you know, and we've talked about Enneagrams before. I know we've talked about it. We didn't do it. Did we do an actual podcast?
No.
Okay.
Might not be a bad idea.
Well, either way, those people, you know, people who are aware, people who listen, who know their Enneagram, this is going to seem kind of, it's going to have that nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
Type feel to it. You're going to be able to pull some of that in. And even the question one, you know, where Enneagram one is perfection.
Yeah.
Perfectionists, I think, you know, it's like, am I safe? Question ones are the world's guardians. They help people feel safe and protected and are naturally able to analyze and predict and tend to be emotionally connected and sensitive. At their core, they have a physical and emotional safety, and negative surprises are a no thanks. Question ones are at their best when they're relaxed, at peace, and can heal and protect those around them. However, when they're in the scramble, there you go, there's the scramble, they mm-hmm. tend to try and control the future, live on high alert, and exist in a lot of stress and anxiety.
Yeah. It's interesting because you translate that as a one, kind of Enneagram one, or you see the connection, right? I see some of the Enneagram one stuff in question five, but also that also is question three.
Sure.
Enneagram three. So okay. Enneagram one is kind of this perfectionist idea,
yep.
right?
And, yep.
What else is it about the Enneagram one? Do you remember?
Perfection. Chris is an Enneagram one.
Yeah.
So like
very precise.
Yep.
You know,
details matter.
Yep, yeah. And kind of expects others to hold to that standard as well.
Sure.
Right. That's yep. kind of, I yep. think, Enneagram one.
And that's what reminded me, you know, it's like they are kind of those guardians. It's like if I'm bringing something to your attention that, you know, isn't necessarily right, that's to protect you. It's not that I'm wanting to, you know, let you know that I noticed your mistake. It's to protect you from that failure that you might, and it may not matter to the other person,
right?
You know, or so it's just, and then, you know, being able to, I think it's, you know, we can definitely see where at times that ability to, if everything is good, relaxed and nurturing and all that, but when it's on high alert, it is a desire to protect and provide safety for other people.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part, you know, that kind of connected with me and the Enneagram one.
That's totally fair. And I'll just say that's how you see it, Mark. No, as I'm reading these, I can see one in a lot of these, and then vice versa, like some of the other ones, which makes me think like we're looking at a different angle at the same thing.
Oh, sure.
How I see it is basically like, again, the Enneagram is not a fully encompassing view of a person, and neither is any other, you know, the how we love quiz or whatever. They're all, like you said, facets or directions at looking at the same person. And so I feel like you can still fit one of these really tightly and still be this other Enneagram thing and still see some of the Enneagram stuff in the other. It's like,
no doubt.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what makes it. Once you get all these personality tests, then you can really see even more who you are and how it's nuanced.
Oh, sure.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt there's nuances. And I think it's interesting as we would read through these, likely, you know, you might lock on one person.
Right.
That tends to remind you of this question says, that other's awareness is kicking in at that point. Because, and here again, this isn't a judgmental statement, but having that awareness that says, that might be why, you know,
what makes someone tick.
Which
can give you the tools for relating, you know, relational tools to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To empathy. Understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm in agreement with you. You know, it's like when we think of, you know, perfection, it might come back to even for, you know, and I think it's going to be nuanced between male and female, even to a certain degree, you know, perfection for a male, perfection for a female. Yeah. Is it perfection for a male might be driven by success,
right? Yes. And being at the top, or a woman might be about, am I serving?
Right. Or for a female, it might, you know, I'm thinking about honor and respect for guys as far as successful, you know, but security is going to be bigger or, you know, safety, you know, possibly for that female design, you know, that kind of thing.
Also, we know that's not the same for every, like, not all women need security.
Exactly.
Not all men need success, but
But being able to, you know, make it fit to a greater degree. Everybody's going to be different, but there are going to be some likenesses in that male side of things, Would you like to read the second one?
Yeah, let me add it. Question number two, am I secure? So you talked about, am I safe? So there, mm-hmm. it'd be interesting to talk about the distinctions between these two.
Sure.
Your thoughts. But this one is the Q2s, question two people. Q2s are great providers and partners, and they build stable environments, prioritize their relationships and finances, and tend to be trustworthy, grounded, and methodical. At their core, they crave security, and not having the right amount of money or relational resources to protect themselves is a big fear. When Q2s are at their best, they're generous, connected, and secure. However, when they're in their scramble, they tend to fret over money, resources, and relational capital. Which, that's an interesting phrase, mm-hmm. relational capital.
Yeah. And when you read that, you know, I think that's it does delineate the difference well between safe, question one, which is safe, question two, which is secure.
Because why? Tease it out.
Exactly. Well, I think so much of, you know, question one, it is about the emotional connection and that the feeling, if you will, of am I safe? I think the secure is looking at this, and this. So that number in the bank account, you know. Yeah. These factors, I guess I saw it as a little bit more defined.
Hmm.
You know, I look at that, I look at that, and I look at that, and it's like, nope, I'm not secure.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, my bank account needs to go up $5,000 mm-hmm. more dollars, mm-hmm. and then we'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think the safe seems a little more emotional.
Hmm.
You know, I was thinking of what's the ENF?
Yeah, that's another personality.
Yeah, there was
ENTF and INFJ.
Yes.
Exactly.
One is sensing you understand where
intuitive,
I'm coming.
Yes. Sensing. Yeah.
That's kind of that difference to me.
Yeah.
You know, that safe felt a little more intuitive, like it's a nebulous thing that I just have to feel it.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. It's just a feeling that I have.
Yeah.
But the secure, you know, it's trustworthy, grounded. It's kind of almost like looking at the things I do. Disciplines matter.
Yeah.
What comes to mind for
me. I can produce security by having X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Where safe is more about, a feeling. And I can see what you're saying. How does a question one, am I safe, go about achieving safety? I guess that's the scramble. They try to control future, live on high alert, mm-hmm. exist in a lot of stress and anxiety, but that's not, I can see what you're saying as far as, it almost feels like there's a less ability to address the problem.
Yes.
Safety person.
That's my take on it well, a little bit. It's a little more nebulous. I can't necessarily put my finger on just one thing.
Yeah.
It's this combination.
I just know I need this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which is a great awareness.
Yeah.
If I know what I need and I'm able to communicate that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because then other, so because one may come down to as simple as I need a hug.
Yeah.
You follow me at this moment. Whereas two, it's like, well, we're spending a little too much from my perspective, you know, and we need to be saving a little more, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think in some ways it was funny as I read too, it's like there was a part of me that could identify with the first part, but it's like the second part of not having the right amount of money, you know, right amount of money or relational, that part didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't have a specific number.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's good enough.
Both one and two kind of remind me of Megan, in a lot of ways. I mean, the world's guardian, that's kind of how she operates.
Okay.
To a degree. And then also the question two is, build stable environments, you know, prioritize their relationships and finances, tend to be trustworthy, grounded, and methodical.
Yeah.
Like she's very much those things. But then it's like, you know, and that's what you're going to find with these things is like half of the thing will nail someone. The other half, you're like, I don't know. Like, the relational resources, like she's not needy of relational resources.
Gotcha.
Except probably our family, like
real time. Oh, yeah.
So in that sense, I think
Yeah. So you're thankful for her. Oh, she's, yeah. She's so many of those other things that you're not. Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yep.
Yes,
absolutely. I agree. Megan is the things you're not.
Yeah. The stable environments is just, a perfect complement to what I am, was, could have been.
Okay.
Like, she has been a rock in my life since I met her. Like, sure. Literally, the minute I met her.
Yeah.
It was a stabilizing force in my kind of very unstable, life and situation. So, yeah, that, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You're going to contact Mike after this and you're going to say, hey, this is a couples thing here. We can start connecting, ones and twos belong with sevens as far as.
We could start a speed dating service for you.
Exactly.
Do like the auction, like, are you one? Can I get a one?
I got a seven over here looking for a one, looking for a one. Yes, I hear you.
I know, it's like, what's that game, Pit?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Three. I got three.
Wheat. I got barley. But that being said, we're going to shift back to the seven questions.
Guess we should. Yeah. All right, you got three.
Question three, am I loved? The Q3s are gifted at loving and caring for others, and they create safe, loving environments for others to feel seen, heard, and treasured. At their core, they crave being loved, and the thought of being dismissed, unheard, or unseen is a deep fear. When Q3s are at their best, they're nurturing, kind, empathetic. However, when they're in their scramble, they tend to become people pleasers, overgive, and engage in codependent behaviors. Mm-hmm. So, which part popped out to you there? I realized that codependent behaviors is a...
Yeah, CR thing.
CR thing. I didn't know whether you had a specific thought there or not.
There was a person that popped into my mind.
I bet.
For all the good things that are in there. But then, again, with some of the bad things, I'm like, I can't say I've ever seen that in this person.
I get that. So.
What about you?
No, it was this.
Not that we're going to go naming names for all of these.
No, we're not. But
actually, I'm just going to say Megan's all of these. So.
Okay.
She's the best.
All the good qualities.
Yes. She's all the good, none of the bad. So.
But yes, that... The initial part, and I like how you, once you kind of read out the rest of it, it makes sense. Because at first, that first read, it can kind of be close to what's one. How can I discern the difference? Am I loved? But I think that ability to be heard and seen and treasured, that makes sense in my ability to feel loved, is based on, do you hear what I say?
Yeah.
Am I valuable? That kind of thing. And once you look at it from that context, I can understand how is it love? There's definitely people that come to mind for me, even in that process, when it comes to the thought of being dismissed or unheard is a deep fear.
Yeah.
And I can understand that, how that puts people in a scramble when it seems like I'm saying something, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't change anything, And I could understand how, that can happen just in the aspect, there again, finances, I'm saying this and this and this, and we, need to cut back on our spending, and you just bought that,
Yeah.
I can understand feeling how dismissed. That creates a rupture in that conflict between who we are.
Yeah.
Especially, if I'm looking at that, and this reminds me again, I know we've talked about this before, the money languages, if I'm trying to create security by being analytical, saving, and you're trying to, promote success by buying these things that make us look successful, you can understand how that's going to create some
disconnect,
conflict. Yeah. Yep. No doubt.
Yeah.
But. Anything more on question three?
No. I'm trying to decide if I want to say this, but I'm going to say it because the pause was long enough.
We got to explain what that pause was about at this point.
My thought was, that one feels weak to me.
Mm.
And then I thought, that thought of mine probably has a lot to do with who I am and the question, you know, like, and I imagine whichever quadrant you're in looking at out at the other ones, you're going to say, that one seems wrong for these, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Of course.
Sure.
But that one of all of them feels very like weak.
Hmm.
And I would not want to be in that quadrant. Does that make sense?
No, I hear you. And I know
my vision of it's incorrect in the sense that if someone is loving, they're gaining the benefits of being a loving person, which I clearly miss out on.
No, I hear
Does
you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways, I like that use of the word codependent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that can have that perspective that, you know, I'm just not comfortable standing on my own.
Yeah.
I want someone else who's basically able to, I can kind of align with that person.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, I think about it in that context of, you know, it makes sense when I'm looking for that validation, if you will.
Yeah.
And even if I'm feeling what you're feeling gives me that validation, that's an important thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I was thinking about it from the codependent part. And recognizing all of these have their pros and cons, just like anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess that's kind of my confession is that it's hard for me to see much for pros and seeing a lot for negatives in that one.
Yeah.
But again, I recognize that's pretty squarely coming from the quadrant I sit in. So.
And yet we'd probably be able to say if the right person dismissed you and made you feel unheard and you're no, Justin, that doesn't matter.
Right.
Forget it. Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would definitely likely have a little more reactivity to that depending on the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, yes, definitely have struggled with that in the past of like having a conversation and feeling like we never had it.
Yes.
Like how does this feel this way? Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
No doubt.
I guess that's kind of my point. Like I see some of the negative stuff and even can reflect on it and see, you know, versus the positive, I can't really relate to it.
I
think that's probably why it feels
Yeah. You see primarily negative with that specific question.
Because I think because I can relate to the negative versus I can't. You know, really
I got
relate
you.
To the pot.
Yeah.
I'm not effervescent in my love, if that makes sense. Like,
sure.
So, it's hard. Anyway.
Question four.
Am I wanted?
Mm.
The Q4s are welcoming, accepting, and inclusive, and they're excellent at connecting people and including them. At their core, they crave being wanted, and the thought of being excluded, replaced, or shunned is a deep fear. When Q4s are at their best, they're strong in social settings, good with people, and make others feel special. However, when they're in their scramble, they tend to lose themselves in the need to feel wanted themselves.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's another one I can relate to the negative more than a positive.
Sure.
But yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to when we, you know, describe that difference. I like the subtle differences, you know, because there is a difference, you know, between being wanted
and
in my presence. You know, I want you in my presence. I want, you know, your value versus valued, which is the loved part.
Yeah.
You know, and I just it's
.
It's not something that I would routinely think about. But reading through this, I can understand those subtle differences.
Yeah, the nuances.
Yeah. Huh. Because, you know, it's kind of funny when I think about it. I forget the theory that it comes out of. It begins with an S. But either way, there's a worksheet that I'll sometimes use because there's... When we grow up, there's differences between violations of love and violations of trust.
Hmm.
In other words, love has to do with those valuing and, you know, dynamics when I wasn't valued. But trust has more to do with the structure and the disciplines and the routines, you know, and, you know, we think of that and we could, you know, hear those two words in love and trust. And it's like, they can almost be synonymous in some ways, but yet when you break them out in a little bit, and that's what I've appreciate about this. Yeah, there's a difference between being valued and yet still being wanted, you know, what I do with your heart versus what you are to me in a presence, you know, that I desire your presence versus how I handle your heart. Those are kind of two different things to me.
Yeah.
Well, in here, and that's kind of the part that pops out. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on question four other than another one you don't want?
Yeah, I mean, those two really, again, they fall probably in the continuum, maybe on the other side of where I am, maybe, because they both just feel very needy without a lot of benefit.
Sure.
But again,
it would be interesting. It's kind of funny to think about, you know, in that context of why, what is it about those ones? And granted, it's probably more the negative side of it that makes it almost seem repulsive to you personally. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, yeah. Yeah, very interesting. I do think it. Yeah. 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 I'm sure we could spend plenty of time breaking down the repulsion, because I think there's some stuff to that. But yeah, it is interesting. I think too, if I could, I can picture certain people fitting in both of these that are good people that I, you know.
Sure.
But they don't, like, there's parts of it that I just lose it. I'm like, maybe not that person. So if I could picture, like, the quintessential number question four person, maybe it wouldn't feel so repulsive, because I'd be like, oh, like, look at how this benefits their life. And, like, I can see the value in their life as a result of being that thing. And I think I'm just not able to put the right face there to be able to kind of get there. So all I'm able to do instead is see the mirror.
Yep.
And where I reflect in those things, and it's only the bad.
Sure.
Right. So to your point about being dismissed, like, when I see that myself, it's like, oh, I don't ever want to struggle with, am I loved or am I wanted? Like, because I do, right? Like, both of them.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. And this is my challenge to our audience. If you see yourself as a close friend of Justin and you take this assessment and you come up with a 3 or a 4,
don't tell him.
No, make sure you tell him. That way he'll know. It's
actually like to know.
Hey, that, I'm a 4.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, I could align with 4, and, you know, we're good friends.
So that's the reason there was a big pause, is like, do I really want to say this? Because I don't want people who actually are that to think I think less of them. I think it's more about seeing myself in those things and going, you get that away from me.
Yes. Right? It's more about self awareness. Yeah. It's like, okay, what is it about that weakness that makes it seem uncomfortable for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Is that fair?
Oh yeah. That's perfectly fair. I appreciate you sharing in that. Yep.
Yeah. I've worked I think the thing is, I've worked very hard to find a place where I feel loved and wanted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so the idea of,
the idea craving of not being there, not being where I am now, where I've grown to, is repulsive to you. To actually,
I think that's a good breakdown of it.
But. No, I just, it would make perfect sense. Yeah. I'm not saying that's the case. We'd have to talk a little longer.
And I would have to pay a lot more money for that talk.
Yes. But it would be interesting. But either way, so yes.
Number 5?
My turn? Yes. Yeah. Fair enough. Q5s are confident, focused.
Wait, what's the question?
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I had to shift over to look around my mic.
I was waiting for you to ask the question, because I was going to say, yes, Mark, you are. But you didn't
Am
ask.
I successful?
Yes, Mark, you are. Sorry.
The Q5s are confident, focused, and help everyone solve problems and win. At their core, they want to be seen as successful. And being seen as incompetent or underachieving is their worst possible outcome. When Q5s are at their best, they lead themselves and others to positive outcomes. And their can-do attitudes give them the ability to produce great work. However, when they're in their scramble, they tend to lose sight of the bigger picture, engage in workaholic behaviors, and work towards outcomes they may not really want.
So question.
Question five. That's question five.
Yes. I have my own question. Question eight. It's after the other one.
Okay. That's fair enough.
No, it's not a primal question. It's a question about the primal. Is this a continuum, like one through seven? And it's a, you know, but you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because to me, it makes sense that it is, in the sense that, if okay, my perspective, after you read Am I Successful, and as we're getting closer to seven, the closer we get to seven, like as you go up backwards from seven, the more, you know, I relate most to seven, and then next most to six, and next most to five, or maybe, I don't know, I haven't quite done the thoughts on it, but definitely the continuum, get I get further from relating it till we get to close to two and one, where I'm like, oh, there's Megan, the opposite, right? Like, is that what this is?
I'm not seeing it as a continuum. I would see it as multidimensional.
Okay.
You know, I would, when I say that, it's like, well, what would be, you know, I guess value. Well, when I think of trust, okay, trust is multidimensional.
Yeah.
It's not a continuum of whether I trust you or I don't trust you, which would be a continuum, but I may trust you with a personal information, but I may not trust you with my finances.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
And
so I don't necessarily see these as a continuum. I see them as, you know, spokes in a wheel, that they're multidimensional.
Yeah.
Or even like the Enneagram, where you may have a circle, but you know, there's some connectors that come across, but I don't see it as a line continuum, that these are all on the same dynamic. But that's just my answer to your question.
Yeah.
But I will say, there was a, as I was reading five, it was interesting to think about how closely that relates to the seven from when I was reading it. Did you have any parts of you that was like, that could be a little bit me in that process?
Like you?
Yeah. No, me. You personally. Yeah.
Five, as six, a seven, and seven.
Okay.
I feel very relating to at least the first sentence. I haven't read it all yet, but so yeah.
So you, and there's a part of you that says, okay, I could have been a five, six, or a seven. As I really kind of read it, it happened to be that I'm a seven.
Yeah. And when we get to seven, I have some thoughts about
seven.
So I don't want to spoil it yet, but yes.
No,
yes,
that's fair.
I definitely feel like maybe on any given day, month, or year of my life, I would say three through seven.
Okay.
I could fall on.
Sure. And it's interesting in that that last part of five there, well, actually it's in the first part, and being seen as incompetent or underachieving as their worst outcome.
Yeah, like that sounds very true of me.
Exactly. It wasn't so much the, what was it? It wasn't so much the underachieving, but incompetent.
Yeah.
It's like, who wants to be seen as incompetent, you know?
Wait, which one is that? That's five?
That's still five, yes.
Okay.
That last part of that first segment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm being seen. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're right. Like, of course, we're all going to, well, not all.
I mean, no, that's the interesting part of it. Because I'm, you know, not that that person is weak, but it's like, I could identify with that person, you know, in that aspect of if they felt incompetent.
Yeah.
And yet there's a part of me that would basically say, well, there is still, I may not do, I can spin that from my own, I guess I'll call it maturity, and recognize, okay, well, I may just not have learned that trade yet. You follow?
Which trade?
In other words, like if I'm looking, if someone is judging me as incompetent, I could still spin that to say, I mean, think about it from the aspect.
I'm only incompetent today. I'm not always going to.
Yeah. You know, even from a podcast perspective, I recognize, you know, compared to the gurus out there, you know, it's like, I haven't arrived, you know, from that. And so others might view that. It's like, what the heck are you guys doing there still? Or you, what are you still doing there? You know, you just haven't made it. You know, you have this many listeners, but it's like, that's where it can come back to a seven for me, because right. it does come back right. to, well, there's a purpose, even if it affects just one.
Yep.
And my competency has the
ability. The fact that we're both seven makes perfect sense that we do this podcast.
To the degree that we do it, yes.
To the degree that we do it. And that we're not, if we were bent more towards five, yep. successful.
We'd be done by now.
Or we would have worked a lot harder by now to get, you know what I mean? Like, we would have done some of the work necessary to become successful or give it up. Like,
I hear
what I'm saying. And I think both of us are content.
You got to twist it just a little bit there, huh? You tell me I'm not working. No, I'm just joking.
Yes. I think because we're content in the purpose aspect, we can say that if one person gets something out of this, it's worth doing. And that's enough for us.
No, I hear you.
And I think that's okay. Like, that's how we're built, and that's okay. And I think for that one person that we actually mean something to, they also say, I'm glad you're that way, because you know what I'm saying?
I do. That's a great way to look at it.
But I do think if we were bent towards five, we probably would, look at the metrics, do some research, hire some people, there's stuff that can be done. We both know that.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. So. I think you know that a little more than I know that. Yeah. But yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
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 But again, if you were more five.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
You would know it too.
Sure. Sure.
Right.
It as sevens, but if you were five, it would be more important.
Yes.
Yes. It would bring on an urgency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point about you don't know it as well as I do, but if you were five, you'd probably know it better than I did.
Exactly. Like,
you'd know exactly
where you're coming from.
You know, we're not successful because we're not doing what this person does and that thing does and what this article recommends.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on five?
Key feelers lend themselves and others to positive outcomes, and their can-do attitude gives them the ability to produce great work. However, when they're in their scramble, they tend to lose sight of the bigger picture, engage in workaholic. I mean, I really, I resemble a lot of that. Like, I resemble
a workaholic.
What's the word? I relate.
Oh, okay.
Man, wow.
Okay.
That word just disappeared from the
brain.
That's
okay.
But it came back. Thank you.
You can identify with that.
Yes, I can identify with that one for sure. Yeah, both good and bad.
No
workaholic, lose sight of the bigger picture, work towards outcomes they may not really want. All three of those definitely can relate to.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, three through seven, I can relate to those a lot.
Yep.
And again, three, four really being scary versions of relating.
No doubt.
And I don't like it,
And it's interesting. I like the fact in some ways we're doing this now, as far as, we talked about, not being big on resolutions, but still this beginning of the year self-awareness, just to be able to kind of read this and say, okay, where am I at? What are my tendencies?
Yeah.
This isn't going to fit everybody perfectly, but still being able to say, okay, I have some tendencies towards this and how can I grow in certain ways?
Mm.
Yeah.
Of these, I've already mentioned, for me, it's very much a continuum, one to seven, how I relate to them. The closer you get to seven, the more I relate. Mm. How do you feel in terms of these other ones? Which ones do you say, if I wasn't a seven, I'd probably be that one? Like, do you have that?
Well, let's finish up six.
Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your turn.
Yes. Number six. Am I good enough? The Q6s are valuable, advocating, and full of special abilities. Plus, they're great at seeing possibilities and spotting untapped resources. At their core, they want to be seen as good and ever being negative.
Ever being negatively thought of or criticized is a huge
deal to them. Sure. Yes, ever being negatively thought of or criticized is a huge deal to them. When Q6s are at their best, they add value to others, embrace their own imperfections, and maximize the lives around them. However, when they're in their scramble, they tend to see themselves as a victim or shut down. I feel like if I didn't take the quiz and I just read these, I'd probably pick that.
Six.
I'm probably six.
I hear you.
So I'm glad the quiz said I'm seven, because I like seven better.
Like,
so
yeah.
I'm still waiting until we get to seven to talk about my theory here.
Yeah, yeah.
My other thing. But yeah, so am I good enough? I definitely can relate to that feeling and that fear.
Sure.
Especially the closer I get to the beginning of my life, if that makes sense.
Going back in time.
Yes.
Yeah, I gotcha.
All right, I'm going to say my theory.
Well, let's finish up seven. Can we finish up seven?
Yeah.
Q7, do I have a purpose? The Q7s are imaginative, forward-thinking, and impactful, and they consistently make the world around them a better place. At their core, they want to live a life full of meaning, and living a purposeless life is the worst thing that could happen to them. Hmm. When Q7s are at their best, they embrace their boundless visions, rally people towards a difference, and help others unlock their purpose. However, when they're in the scramble, they tend to get caught up in finding the right path, mm-hmm. which can cause them to miss the good.
It's good.
There you go.
That's now, me. In the bad, too. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting, and I'll tell you before I go. Now you can share your theory. Go ahead.
No, I want to hear you go. My theory will.
I'm with you in the process. When I read the descriptions, and I'm still thinking about your continuum dynamic, but in other words, I think what it comes down to for me is purpose trumps the other equations. You know, it's like when I'm with you, when I read six, you know, in other words, what I do in my job, you know, it's about seeing people's strengths and how I can, you know, utilize them in such a way that helps them see what they could be.
Yeah.
You follow me? That is definitely part of a passion for me.
Yeah.
But even that recognizes when I look at it that way, for me, that becomes part of my purpose because it's a way I see people that helps them find their purpose.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll admit, I don't necessarily, I'm thinking of our imaginative forward thinking. That's, I don't necessarily see myself as very imaginative. And I definitely have I might have a legacy mindedness, but I don't necessarily see myself as someone who is long-term planning all aspects of my life. You follow me?
Yeah.
So in some ways I am, yeah, I could waffle but in that
to
description.
To me, that's a two.
What's a two?
The people who architect their future are more ones or two questions.
I see
one,
where you're coming
two.
From.
I think the fact that you have dreams about you know, Sparrow's Rest and the pond and all these, it kind of speaks to that.
I hear where you're coming from.
Like, you don't need to have the details. You just...
And that's probably, here again, that might be where you felt the love and other parts feel icky to you.
Oh,
you know, that might, the forward thinking, I recognize I'm not
architecting the future.
I'm not an architect.
Yeah, that feels icky.
It's like if I have to have, you know, all the numbers, that's why Chris is such a blessing to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's a numbers person,
yeah.
you know, and she says, well, where does this stand? And, you know, and I can be that more generalized.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what we'll do moving forward. And I can, but there again, when I don't see myself as being very imaginative, you know, and the forward thinking, those two parts on that kind of said, I just don't see myself necessarily there, but I do recognize that I want what I do to matter.
Yeah.
And that's, I think what trumps that for me is a seven over the six.
Yeah.
In that dynamic, but
I also just, from how I see it, don't agree with even your own assessment in that you're not imaginative, which again is how I see it.
You're
not wrong. I'm just saying, like, forward thinking. I think you are very, what's the term I use for you?
Calculating. Yeah.
In the sense that you don't do something that doesn't matter. right?
I hear you. I gotcha. Yeah.
Right. And
that's
forward thinking. Like, you take this opportunity in front of you and you look forward. How will this impact my in your future?
Sure.
Is there an opportunity for purpose in it? If not, you're like, no.
Yeah.
Right? Or if so, then you'll say, how much purpose can we suss out of this? Okay, it's worth doing.
Sure.
Right? I think that's very much forward thinking. And also, you're thinking imaginative as creative. Yeah, that's not necessarily
creative. That's just what
creative.
I was going to say.
It's being able to see a scenario in your mind, imagine it, and then operate.
Imagining it as it could be to achieve that.
Right.
Yes.
And I think in order to pluck purpose out of others and see purpose, you have to have, that's that imagination.
I gotcha.
So I think you're thinking of Disney World and Imagineering and creativity. And yep. I think they're different.
I agree with you. Because, and I
fist pump.
Yes, indeed. But yes, I was mixing up imaginative with creative.
Yeah.
And I don't see myself as a creative person, but imaginative, I do think about, because I even in like sessions, I will think about, okay, how can I help this person see this differently? And I start, and that's where
imagination.
And I'll use narratives a lot to be able to say, okay, this is what that is feeling like. And, it helps people. Yeah. So I don't necessarily, imaginative means and from my perspective, I'm willing to rethink how I think about it to help you understand it better.
I mean, I think that's a pretty good definition of imagination.
Right.
But again, I think we have a specific idea of imagination based on Disney World, right? Like,
exactly. Yeah. I was, as I was reflecting in that moment while you were sharing, I'm in a complete agreement with you. Imagination and creativity can be two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So here's my theory. You ready?
I'm ready.
I feel like seven.
You're thinking that seven.
I'm thinking. Thank you. I'm trying to think. Do I feel it? Yeah. And so I'm thinking seven is a privileged position.
Oh.
And or, so it depends on how you define privilege. But I think when I feel like I've climbed the ladder from am I loved up to am I wanted up to am I successful up to am I good enough and landed on do I have purpose? And I feel like I get to have this primal thing because the other things are met. I feel safe. I feel secure. Whatever. I am. I feel loved. And I feel like if you were to, again, go back in my life, I'd be in a different question. You know what I'm saying?
So you see this very similar to a hierarchy of needs.
Not really, because I don't think someone who wants to feel safe is less like.
Okay, but when you say.
From my perspective.
Yeah, I'm saying
from
when,
where I sit, I feel like I can say I'm at a seven now in my 40s.
I gotcha. Yeah.
But when you say privileged. Here's why I say it's a theory. There's a good chance I would have gotten that answer 20 years ago too. I guess I'm saying I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's easy to say this is what
we're gonna have to review this in another 10 years.
Yeah. Or go back 20 years. Can we do that? No.
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 But yeah.
Does that what are your thoughts about that? I mean,
it's interesting.
I recognize that it does put a certain tint on the others and that they're less than, and that's not my desire at all. But
here's where I'm at. I think because we are at a seven, it can seem exactly like you're saying. And yet I'm going to recognize, I have a strong sense of value, as do you, for our wives.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're necessarily sixes and sevens.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So from that perspective, I'm going to recognize, we benefit from the other ones and twos and threes in our
lives.
They
almost free us up to be able to be a seven.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I guess, again, I come back to that privilege word.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, my life has come to a certain point where I have the things in place to where I don't have to worry about those other needs.
I gotcha.
I guess so. Therefore, it frees me up to deal with my,
yeah,
you know, my natural fear or whatever. Do I have
but
purpose?
But your scramble. Yeah. In other words, yeah, when Q7s are at their best, they embrace their boundless visions. So those other ones and twos in your life,
yeah,
have allowed you to embrace what you want to be able to do.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
Boundless, and help people towards a difference and help others. In other words, if you didn't have Megan in your life, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
Quite like you can now in your 40s.
Yep.
And unlock purpose. However, when they're in their scramble, yeah, they tend to get caught up in finding the right path, yeah, which can cause them to miss the good.
Yeah.
You, yeah, follow me?
Yes.
And so I think, you know, it's you're at a less scrambled part of life as a seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of the ones and twos around you.
Yeah. Yeah. That,
just kind of a interesting,
that's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, so often, And I think you'd agree with this, you know, so often early on in relationship, you know, it is that difference that tends to create the conflict. Why don't you just let me do my thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, because your thing is counter to my thing.
Yeah.
You know, but as we learn in relationship that, no, our things can be, yeah,
coexist and be complementary.
Yes.
Synergistic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then we're able to be, you know, that,
yeah,
a,
yeah,
fuller sense of,
yeah,
answering that question. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I also recognize too that, well, from the very beginning, I was saying, I think my perspective is very squarely centered in this quadrant of, do I have purpose? So looking out at the other ones, I'm only seeing it through that perspective. And even looking at this one, it's like, I see this one from this perspective. Is like,
sure,
this is the best one. I imagine that ones probably feel that's the best one. And two,
yes,
and three, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No doubt.
And they would say, like, for instance, am I loved? And do I love, you know, like at their best, they're very loving and effusive. And they would say, the greatest commandment is love God and people. So I got it right.
Sure.
Right? Maybe. Yeah, I don't, yeah, know. Yeah. I'm not them, but I can see how looking out from any of those other ones, you could,
yeah,
have the same, yeah,
perspective. And it's interesting as we come back to self-awareness and others' awareness, how the, you know, ones and twos have that empathetic perspective. And I think, you know, that's where, you know, as you described it, it's like, as I understand I'm a seven, my ability to value and be empathetic about ones and twos can actually grow.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, or even where threes or fours are concerned, once I understand what they contribute, it's like they do it in a way that's not repulsive to me, you know, but as from my seven, that feels like a spot that's icky. I don't want to go there. You know, I start feeling reactive about that, but they're very comfortable right there. And I need those people in my lives to help me better fulfill my seven.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about what you just said made me think about the scrambling as a seven is tending to get caught up in finding the right path, which can cause them to miss the good. And I feel like those things that feel icky about those other ones, I think are when I'm scrambling to find the right path. And is it being wanted? And I'm, you know, spinning my wheels about trying to feel wanted and it doesn't work.
Sure.
Am I loved? And I'm spinning my wheels. It doesn't work. Am I successful? All right, let's chase that. Spinning my wheels and it doesn't work. Right.
Yeah.
So that I think some of those things that feel icky are probably because I'm scrambling as a seven.
I would agree. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
No doubt. So, yeah.
That's
So feel free to take the assessment, you know, know that this isn't cut in stone type thing. And, you know, it's just a desire to, you know, share a little bit of an insight, a fun little assessment and just, you know, grow in a self-awareness type thing. It's been fun to have the discussion as far as, you know, that others' awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one of the things I like about this particular assessment is that we fit it all in one Google Doc and we can look at it here.
Sure. Which
not a lot of the assessments are that succinct.
Sure.
So the reason I say that...
Can we share that? We can share this, right?
I'd rather share his web page.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, give him the credit. But because it's all on his page too. But the point is, read all of them.
Sure.
And try and, you know, you don't just learn about yourself. Take the quiz, you know, figure out what you are. But then, you know, read up on the other ones because that's knowing who you are is only half the equation.
And I think in some ways, and granted, maybe a little spoiler alert type thing, I would take the assessment before I even read the questions.
Yeah, I agree.
Because otherwise you're going to kind of...
before you heard this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Ideally, before you heard this episode, but...
all things being equal, I agree. Take the assessment first. Good point.
Because, it'll...
And also, I didn't know this during the first third of the questions, but you can slide the slider between all the way to the left. And like, it's a continuum, like Mark was saying.
Yeah.
I was going all the way.
Really?
I thought it was one of those binary ones.
Okay.
But yeah, you can put it right wherever you want. You can leave it right in the middle, which I also figured out and did a few times.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Just feel neutral about that.
No, I moved the slider every time, but not far at some times. Yeah, exactly. But so no, maybe we should just record a segment after this that says, when you listen to this podcast, please go to and take this. But either way, you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's been fun,
Justin.
Say
that right now.
I just said it, but who listens to a podcast from the back?
Oh, you mean stick it at the front?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not saying we have to, but
it was just... Say it right now, and I'll put it at the front.
Podcast listeners, please take a moment to go to the...
Mike Foster's seven
primal questions assessment. And then listen to the rest of the podcast.
You'll thank us if you do that in that order. You can go to primalquestion.com. That's probably the best place to go.
Yeah.
Nice job. I'm going to put that at the front, and I'm also going to leave it at the end. So everyone can
see. Right. That's fair enough. They'll know I wasn't very forethinking on that part.
That's right. But at the beginning, they'll be like, wow, they were very forward thinking.
So that's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.